You're listening to the audio production of Stars of Alabama by Sean Dietrich, published by Thomas Nelson and read by the author.
Book 1, Chapter 1, Hollering. Paul Folger listened to Louisville bark. The dog's black and tan fur dripped with water that had turned her hair curly. The dog had been swimming in Rabbit Creek all morning. She loved to swim. Louisville was old, lean, all ears, long jowls with some white around her snout. The old girl howled for all she was worth, staring straight into the woods that sat behind the creek, which forked into Mobile Bay. She was a tracking dog, the most obedient dog Paul had ever trained. If Paul would have told the dog to build a 10-foot sandcastle, Louisville would have gone hunting for a shovel and bucket. The morning air had an oyster taste to it. Not a fresh oyster taste, more like a horrible canned oyster, the kind Paul's father ate. The air surrounding the bay always had that sort of taste. It was a smell that could gag a goat, a smell that only got worse when the weather got hot and the wind died. A day like today. Louisville heard something. So did Paul. A high-pitched shriek cut the air. They listened to the screams together, man and dog. Paul knew what Louisville was thinking. She wanted Paul to send her into the woods. But Paul was in no mood for tracking. "Ain't nothing serious, Louise," said Paul. "Just simmer down." They stood on a shore littered with brown seaweed where the creek began and the bay ended. The sand near the water's edge was so soft a man's boots could sink halfway into the earth. Paul was up to his ankles in it. He looked across the bay, across the gray water, at the yellow grass that stretched sideways next to the great Mobile Bay. The morning sun was strong enough to fry your skin. Paul's pale face was freckled and ruined from a lifetime in this sunlight. He'd been a redhead long ago, before his hair turned white, and the sun made his skin look like it was covered in buckshot. Louisville barked. Though it was really more of a bang. Louisville was like most bloodhounds. She didn't bark. It was beneath her. Instead, she used her low voice and it carried across the water, only to be interrupted by the cicadas and the crickets. The morning insect sounds were coming from all directions in swells. Loud and soft, loud, soft. A man could get hypnotized if he closed his eyes. "Quit it, Louise," said Paul. "Ain't got time for your yapping." But Paul knew Louisville was never wrong. Paul was listening with his eyes closed, letting the sounds of the world swirl around him. Vern stood straight and called down from the roof of the mill house in the distance. "What's Lou barking about?" "How should I know?" Vern was the tallest black man Paul had ever known, and from high up on the roof where he stood, he looked like a portrait of John Henry, only skinnier. Below the mill house, the truck door was open so Vern could listen to the radio. It was Wednesday. Vern always listened to radio preaching on Wednesdays. And he listened to it at a volume that was loud enough to affect the weather. The sounds of a hollering voice from a tinny speaker competed with the baying from Louisville's throat. Her voice was as deep as that of a full-grown baritone man. "Would you turn that radio off? Between that stupid preacher and Lou's barking, I can't hear nothing but hot air."
"Oh, well, sorry, Paul."
"Now, quit your sorrying, Vern. It's a bad habit." Vern's bare feet gripped the roof while he walked. His lanky frame crawled the edge like an acrobat. Paul watched him climb down, three rungs at a time. His sharp features made him look almost like a bronze statue. He lowered himself on the ladder and turned the radio off in the truck. Vern stood beside Paul and cupped his ear.
"What are we listening for? Don't hear nothing."
"You wouldn't. You can't hear nothing."
"Huh?"
"Exactly. That daggum radio made you deaf." There was the sound again. It cut through the humidity. Louisville howled. Paul tugged Louisville's collar and said, "Okay, honey, I hear you." She stopped howling. Then he looked across the creek one more time, making his ears as big as he could, like a dog would do. When he was a boy, his father used to say Paul was part dog. And in some ways, this was true. Paul felt something kindred with the canine. And he'd proven this by squandering his life breeding and training tracking dogs. It started as a boyhood hobby, but soon he was trailing escaped prisoners and missing children, and squirrels, foxes, and coons. "Keep laying them shingles," yelled Paul. "I'd better go see what she's making a fuss about."
"You going into the woods alone?" Vern called back. "He's too old."
"Old?
Huh?
I was asking who you was calling.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?